Good morning from 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. And welcome to our election special candidates forum. As each Saturday this month, we speak to one candidate running for local or state office. The program is brought to you with support from Rebecca's Natural Food and Hamilton's at First and Main. Now here are your hosts, Bob McAdams and Jeff Leonard.
Good Saturday morning, Charlottesville. I'm Jeff Leonard, general manager and founder of WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
And I'm Bob McAdams, special events coordinator at WPVC.
Today we're co-hosting a WPVC election special, one of our interviews with Democratic candidates for the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Remember, WPVC does not endorse any candidates for public office. We provide this information to you, our listeners, so you can help choose the best candidate.
With us in the studio this morning is Board of Supervisors candidate B. Lepisto Kirtley. B., welcome to WPVC.
Bob and Jeff, thank you very much for this opportunity.
B., let's start by getting to know a little bit about you. Where were you born, and what was your life like as you were growing up?
Well, I was born in Portsmouth, Virginia. My dad was in the Army, and my mom was an immigrant from France. I have three older brothers, and we were raised to speak English and French. Because my dad was career military, we moved all over the world. This provided me the opportunity to attend schools that were as diversified as the military, and I sure loved it. I also learned early on to make lasting friendships wherever we lived. I had the opportunity to learn about different cultures and form friendships with people of different countries. That was a formative experience that widened my world and taught me to respect and appreciate people for who they are and gave me a lifelong love of travel. My childhood was filled with love, and although we didn't have a lot of extras, we had fun. I really became involved in extracurricular activities in high school. I joined various clubs and ran for student council.
So what education and work background do you have, and how has that prepared you to serve as a member of the Board of Supervisors?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in American Studies and a master's degree in school management and administration. I had a long professional career as a teacher, principal, director of 24 elementary schools before retiring. I also served on my local city council for 20 years and on the planning commission for 4 years prior to that. I've served on an air quality management board, which focused on reducing the effects of air pollution. I was also on a transportation board that dealt with finding solutions to traffic congestion. And I was on an organization of localities that found effective and economical ways of providing fire and police services. So I feel I bring a lot of experience in dealing with many of the same issues that the Board of Supervisors are tasked with finding solutions for.
Now, B, you're seeking the nomination for supervisor from the Ravana District. If elected, your decisions, they're going to affect everybody in Albemarle. Mm-hmm. But what areas does the Ravana District cover?
Well, Ravana covers the northeastern part of Albemarle County, on the eastern side of Route 29 North, all the way to Orange and Louisa counties, down to the Ravana River at Pantops. Much of the district is rural, but familiar areas include Stony Point, Keswick, Key West, Cascadia, Fontana, Hollymead, South Forest Lakes, and Forest Lakes.
So, B, you said you were previously experienced on a city council. Where was that?
That was in Bradbury, California, which is in Southern California, L.A. County.
Okay. Thanks. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC's Albemarle County Supervisors Candidate Forum. I'm Jeff Leonard. With us today is B. Lepisto Kirtley. B., have you been active in recent years to help improve Albemarle County?
Well, since moving here, I have been a CASA volunteer for 5 years.
A great program.
Helping to reunite children with their parents or others with the goal of being to find a permanent home in a loving, caring, and safe environment. I've been a hospice volunteer for 8 years, and our annual fundraiser for hospice helps pay for Hospice House, which is a place to stay for people needing hospice care so that no one has to die alone. As a member of 100-plus Women Who Care, we raise money to local nonprofits in our community. All these organizations serve the local area, and working with them has enriched our own life here in the community.
You know, running for Board of Supervisors or for any public office is a huge deal. It takes a lot of time, sacrifice, and money. Why did you decide to run? I mean, why now?
Well, I decided to run when I received a call from our current supervisor back in November and was asked, because of my qualifications, if I would be interested in serving on the County Board of Supervisors. And I said I would be. It does take a lot of time, and fortunately, I have the time and energy that is necessary to effectively serve the people of Albemarle.
That's Mr. Dill, who presently holds that position, correct?
That is correct.
And he has elected not to seek re-election.
That is correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure I know and everyone out there knows what that is.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC's Board of Supervisors Candidate Forum. I'm Bob McAdams, and with us in the studio today is B. Kirtley. B., the events of 2017, including Charlottesville City Council's debate and vote on the statues, the July 8th KKK rally, and the Unite the Right rallies on August 11th and 12th, they just traumatized our community. Now, there was one group of white supremacists who almost held a rally in Dardantown Park. If some group wanted to hold a potentially violent event in the county, what should the Board of Supervisors do about it?
Well, we are tasked with following the rule of law, but I would not be in favor of approval. And if that was not legally possible, then I would make sure the county police and sheriff's office, along with backup from the Charlottesville police, as well as the state police, have a plan A, B, and C. In other words, whatever it took to make sure it did not become violent or out of control. An awareness and training program for police should be mandatory.
Now, the events of July and August of 2017, they also uncovered covert racism embedded in our institutions. More than a year and a half has gone by. Where do you think we are now in race relations in Albemarle, and where are we headed?
Well, we started a long overdue community conversation about racism, but have a way to go to eradicate systemic racism in our society at large and at the local level. We have to make sure that our citizens have equal opportunity, period. Albemarle County government cannot solve this very serious and deep-rooted problem alone, but we can make sure that every citizen has the same opportunities, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation. The county needs to ensure that hiring practices within our local government reflect our goals of maintaining a high-quality and diverse staff population, and I would support the continued growth of a diverse teaching population in our school system.
Yeah, recruiting minority or African American or I just say minority teachers is difficult. I was recruiting for a state agency here in Charlottesville for a long time, and sometimes people of color, they really have heard about us, and it's hard to draw them here. That's a hard thing to overcome.
That's correct. It is. But you know what I found? If you reach out. I recently reached out to a young lady. I won't name her, but her first name is Dion. And she was actually teaching preschool. So I talked to her about actually going and working for Albemarle School District and becoming a teacher there. Now, she has to get her teaching credential, but she can certainly has the qualifications. She has her degree, and she can certainly has the qualifications to become a teacher and to get her credential. And to substitute for now. So she actually sent me an email this past week saying that she is going to contact the Albemarle School Board to see about substituting and then consequently getting her teaching credential. So a lot of things we can do maybe one-on-one. It doesn't seem that fast. But you know what? You do that one-on-one, you mentor people, and you encourage them.
Well, many groups, many people, in fact, in Albemarle calling for more affordable housing kind of leads into the teachers and you know, how do you see the problem of affordable housing in both urbanized and rural areas? And what do you think the county should do to increase the availability of affordable housing?
I would favor the formation of a permanent affordable housing fund. This fund would be governed by policies that allow the county to buy and grow affordable housing when it becomes available. This would keep and increase existing affordable housing stock. I would also want to see property tax reimbursements for affordable housing projects to make them more attractive to build. Developers should sign performance agreements that keep the units affordable for 30 years in exchange for the property tax reimbursements.
The city right now, I think, offers the money, the proffers, and I think they're only in for 15. So you're advocating a 30-year.
Yes, I am.
Okay. The Orange Dot Report 3.0 states that 14% of families living in Albemarle County do not earn enough to meet basic needs, including housing. You know, when I worked for the state, we had several of the officers were actually on food stamps or SNAP. You know, these families live in both urbanized and outer rural areas of the county. How do you see the problem of income levels unable to meet living costs, and what can or should the county do about it?
Well, the county is one of the primary employers in the area, and so instituting a living wage to match UVA of $15 an hour would be something we could have control of and would be a start. Working with the neighborhood model that is in our comprehensive plan to ensure a mix of housing is constructed in our development is another task on which the board could work. Providing adequate public transportation is another area, but that is harder because it is really a regional issue. But forging those relationships and working together so that we can improve public transit is really important.
You know, I think we'll talk a little bit more about public transit in a bit, but you're, you know, in your district, I think the bus stops at Walmart and it doesn't go any further north. I think that's a very good point.
Yes.
Now, B, the Orange Dot Report includes a lot of other costs that people incur just to live. That means like transportation, child care, and if they're trying to get some education too. That might come to a lot more than the $15. How can you help people in those situations, particularly in the rural areas as well as in the urban ring?
I think by starting with a $15 an hour minimum wage, that is a beginning. However, with that, we need to make sure that our affordable housing is affordable. And by lowering the cost for people for their housing, that's going to put more money in their pocket. Another thing is public transportation. You cannot have affordable housing without public transportation. So therefore, increasing that, letting people go from point A to B so they don't need a car or they don't, you know, they have another way to get to work, that lowers their costs also, putting more money in their pocket. After-school programs, which I'm definitely in favor of, that will provide a safe place for students to be while the parents are working. They don't have to spend it on daycare. I'd like to see an expanded daycare. That would be something that would also put money in their pockets.
So the Ravana District is an enigma to me. Is it two growth zones? It's Pantops and Forest Lakes area, plus a whole bunch of rural in between. Do I have that right?
Yeah, the two development areas, growth areas in Ravana are Pantops and 29 North.
Yeah, they've got some pretty diverse needs between Pantops and sort of the rural rural farms that go up on Stony Point Road. How do you balance the needs of that sort of diverse, you know, the gentried landowners and sort of the people that are just starting out or struggling to make ends meet? That's a pretty disparate group of people.
Yes, it is. Fortunately, I am in favor of keeping the rural areas protected, to make sure that doesn't change, because that's our charm of being in Albemarle County. But we do have challenges for people who are in the urban areas. That's where you provide the affordable housing. That's where you provide the public transportation, access to work, access to shopping. That's very important. But yes, those are two different needs. And it is a difficult balancing act, but it can be done. I mean, we have done it. The rural areas are beautiful. That's a big attraction. I think in Albemarle County, we are like within the top five for wedding destinations. When they come here not to be, in the middle of Charlottesville, they do for visiting, but they also come here for the beauty. That's why this is a top wedding destination area.
Yeah, they really do. So one of the things I was reading in Charlottesville Tomorrow, and this might be unfair because it just came out, was they just approved the giant apartment complex over in Stonefield, which I know is not in your district. But if the county continues to approve these large developments and doesn't keep up with school construction, I'm just wondering, and I don't know, you know, where are all these kids going to go to school? Are we just going to have, you know, a trailer farm on each of the schools? Or I don't know if people are thinking, you know, two or three levels down.
Well, I understand that the Hyatt place at Stonefield, that is so full that they have a large occupancy rate. That's why they're building the second one there in Stonefield. As far as our elementary schools, the new Brook Hill development, which is on Polo Grounds Road in 29, that's scheduled to have a new elementary school, or they can put in a new elementary school at that point, which would alleviate a lot of congestion in that area, in the Hollymead Forest Lakes area.
Your background's in schools pretty extensively, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, B. This is a great discussion, but we need to take a short break. And we're back. I'm Jeff Leonard, and I'm co-hosting with Bob McAdams, a 94.7 WPVC election special interview with Board of Supervisors candidate B. Lepisto Kirtley. You're from the Ravana District, correct?
Yes.
And Bob and B, we were talking about the issues.
And we've got here another tough issue. The New York Times ProPublica report on the achievement gap between the races in both Charlottesville and Albemarle schools, well, it alarmed educators, students, parents, residents, everybody. Now, the school boards and everyone in both school divisions have tried to address this problem in the past. What can you bring to the Board of Supervisors to help solve it?
Well, I would want to make sure that the county funding allocated for the school system addresses the needs of our students and that there is a plan to make sure the programs to give additional assistance and opportunity where needed is provided. I would encourage funding pre-K programs in all our elementary schools, as well as after-school programs that provide additional assistance for struggling students. The ProPublica report is a wake-up call that we as a community need to solve the problem of equity in our schools. Not all families come with the same resources to provide extra advantages for their children, but I can guarantee you they all want the best education possible. On a personal note, I was told by my high school guidance counselor that I was not college material. I never forgot thinking that she did not really know me or my potential.
Building that confidence so that students will achieve to their highest level is one of the most important things.
That's correct. That is correct.
Now,
you build their confidence, and they will take off, and they will achieve things that are unthinkable.
Now, another tough issue is health care, and having health care available when you need it, it's just a necessity for everybody in our area. Getting care for mental illness, well, that's even more of a challenge. There's limits to insurance coverage, and the lack of professionals in the field means that many people with mental health problems, they just go untreated. What should the county do to help people with mental illness?
The county currently helps fund Region 10, which provides for those in need of mental health services in our community. Additionally, we can make sure that we continue to support mental health programs in the regional jail and support mental health programs in schools using best practices.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC's Albemarle County Board of Supervisors candidate forum, and I'm Jeff Leonard. In studio with us today is B. Lepisto Kirtley. B, as we're talking, mental illness leads to our criminal justice system. They go hand in hand. The superintendent of our regional jail, Martin Coomer, who is a very good human being, said that 50% of the people in jail suffer from mental illness, one form or another, and 80% have substance abuse problems. What changes in our criminal justice system are needed, and what can the county do to address these needs?
The county should continue to allocate resources as needed to Region 10 for their mental health and substance abuse programs. The county, in cooperation with Charlottesville, has taken positive steps in helping people with drug and mental health issues enter into a program of treatment. About a year ago, Charlottesville and the county together instituted the mental health docket, which follows the same protocol as the drug court docket, in which if a person completes the drug or mental health program needed, then the charges can be dismissed. We want to make sure we continue providing and funding for the work that helps address mental health and drug abuse concerns in our community. On the larger issue of change to our criminal justice system, we tackle that on a state level with our legislators. On a side note, I want to give a shout out to Region 10. I recently attended their 50th anniversary, and seeing the programs and how many members of our community they have helped throughout the years, both adults and children, should make us all proud of their work.
Now, I've worked extensively with Region 10 over the years, and I was watching City Council the other night, which I know you're not running for, nor are you a resident of the city. But the City Council, I think, was kicking around the idea of forming a commission that sort of looked at Region 10 and the money that they delivered to Region 10 in an effort to provide some accountability, because, you know, just throwing money toward an agency without providing oversight, it can be a dangerous thing. I wonder if that is going to come to the county, or if you've heard anything about that.
I have not.
Okay. You're listening to the 94.7 WPVC's Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. You know, statistics reveal another issue with criminal justice. It's systemic racism. From police stops to prosecutors to incarceration, whites have a clear advantage over people of color. Recently, an African-American family was forced to the ground at gunpoint by Albemarle County police officers. What can the county do to make sure that all members of our community can trust that justice is equally administered by our police officers, prosecutors, probation, judges, and prison staff?
Well, I believe the county has the responsibility of ensuring that all law enforcement officers and emergency responders know the community they serve. Awareness and training programs for police officers and other law enforcement personnel is vital to ensuring that all members of our community are treated equally with respect. You have to be aware and have an understanding of the varied cultures that we represent. Our diversity is our strength, and we must understand and respect that. It is our responsibility to make it a priority that our residents trust and feel safe with our officers.
Is that getting? Have you had much experience with that kind of training to help our police officers so that they're aware of the and sensitive to the different perceptions of police in the different communities we have?
Yes, I have. Actually, my husband is a retired deputy sheriff. And so I get, he helps, I get a lot of information from him, but also the community policing program, which I believe the Charlottesville police does have here. Community policing is very important, where the officers go into the neighborhoods together, you know, two officers at a time. They go through the neighborhood. They get to know the people on a one-on-one basis. That's something that is extremely powerful, because then the word gets out that, yes, you can trust the police, that they're there for you. But it has to be an openness on the part and training on the part of the police officers to be able to do that.
You know, also, I'm sorry. I think I interrupted. I apologize. When people are on the Board of Supervisors, you are responsible for funding, at least partially funding, our regional jail. And in that, you get a someone on there gets a seat on the jail board. And the jail board has had some issues. I don't want to say controversy, but there's been some issues lately about the voluntary ICE notifications prior to an undocumented person being released from incarceration. Have you looked at that or taken a position on that issue?
No, I have not delved into that. However, I would not be in favor of reporting.
Of the voluntary notification?
Yes, I would not be in favor of that.
Because what they do is they're required by law to tell them initially when they arrive, but they do a voluntary secondary notification, and that's been a point of controversy at the jail, or at least from the jail board's policy standpoint.
Well, I would not be in favor of the voluntary notification.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC's Albemarle Board of Supervisors Candidate Forum. I'm Bob McAdams. Recent reports from scientists tell us that the climate change crisis is much worse than previously understood, with years, not decades, to act. Young people who understand the urgency of the crisis are condemning the lack of action by older people who are in positions of power. What should Albemarle County government do to accelerate reduction of its own greenhouse gas emissions and encourage residents to do the same?
Well, the county is working on a climate action planning, and as is the city and UVA, and they're all talking to each other. I would like to see more a move toward all electric county vehicles, transitioning as older vehicles are retired. This would necessitate more charging stations throughout the county, which would also encourage others to buy electric vehicles. The best way for the county to encourage residents to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions is through education. The county, in concert with the city, UVA, and other community stakeholders, needs to develop a robust education program to address the issue.
Now, nature provides the means to capture and sequester CO2. It's called forests. Forests also prevent erosion. They reduce stormwater runoff. What policies should the county strengthen or create to protect and expand areas with trees?
Well, this is a good issue for the rural areas because they help us out a lot. Property owners meeting specific criteria for forested and agricultural lands are allowed a tax break. Participation in this program is beneficial for reducing greenhouse gases. Also, within the neighborhood model for development, green spaces are required. The county has expanded, where possible, land for parks and nature trails. The Acquisition Conservation Easement Program, or ACE, allows property owners to participate in land conservation programs that will protect our forests and field areas from development in perpetuity. All of these efforts assist in reducing CO2, and participation can be increased.
You know, that land use tax credit or tax break that you mentioned, that's not without controversy. Some people feel that it is it's too generous, and I don't know if you wanted to expand on your belief of sort of the what land use is if you hold a big piece of parcel of property in either agriculture or in farming use or with cows or whatever, then you do get a tax break on that. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, actually, I had a conversation with a woman who was bringing up that exact issue, and she said, why should they have a tax break? And I said, well, let me ask you this. Would you rather that they cut it all down and we put in condos and a lot of housing in that area? And she said, well, no, I don't want that. And I said, well, that's why we're doing this, and it also reduces our CO2 levels.
Yeah, so over the past, we've talked about this a little bit, but over the past few years, Albemarle County's comprehensive plan has concentrated development in the growth areas along 29 North and near Pantops, which are both yours, around Crozet, which is not, in the urban ring of Charlottesville. And by yours, I mean what you're running for.
Right.
Yes. What planning policies do you support to balance the needs of a growing population, management of infrastructure costs, including schools, providing affordable housing, and also balancing protection of the environment? That's a big question.
That's a big question. That question is bigger than I am, but I'm right. going to answer it anyway. We are continuing to grow and have a responsibility to address those needs in concrete ways. The comprehensive plan includes the neighborhood model, which I believe should be followed for the basis of new developments, because it provides for mixed use for small businesses and retail, a variety of housing, including an allotment for affordable housing. The neighborhood model also includes green space with walking and bike trails. This model allows for residents to be able to live in and even work in a walkable community.
Does that model include places where people can work? Places where they can, in other words, if you're going to walk someplace, it's got to be you have to have a meaningful destination within about 10 minutes of walking or 15 minutes of walking.
Yes.
Are there examples in Ravana District that conform to the neighborhood model?
Actually, there is one, Brook Hill Development. That is the neighborhood model that they're currently building in Brook Hill. And that allows for a school, an ice rink, retail stores, and allows for a varied types of housing, including affordable housing and green space, so and walking and biking. So you have all that right there.
So Brook Hill, if I'm not mistaken, is at the intersection of 29 North and Polo Grounds Road.
That's correct.
You know, as a parent of two children that play soccer pretty much every day, the infrastructure, the road infrastructure there is a mess. If you're coming down, what's that neighborhood up that's up on top of the hill there as you're coming down Polo Grounds Road? You know, if those poor people, if we're coming out of soccer and we're trying to take a
left,
right, and we're taking a left coming trying to come down 29 North, you know, that light can back up for 10 or 15 cycles. I just wonder if there's plans that Brook Hill is doing to sort of upgrade the infrastructure. Montgomery Ridge is a neighborhood I'm also thinking of.
Okay.
You know, I wonder what they're going to have to do to address that, because dumping all those cars out on the 29 trying to go south is going it's hard certain times of day.
Yes. You're correct. That does need to be addressed, in my opinion. I know they're going to be having two roads for ingress egress off of Polo Grounds Road, and they're also going to be having an ingress egress from 29. But you're right, whether or not that road needs to be widened or another traffic light or something, I'm not sure, but hopefully that will be addressed.
And you said I don't understand the issue completely, but what I think I heard was that they are going to donate land to the county should the county want it to build an additional elementary school, has an elementary school been already approved there?
I think an elementary school. There's an area for an elementary school
okay.
in the Brook Hill development.
Yeah, but then the county would have to come up with the money to put an additional elementary school in, and you know from what
yes.
Again, with you know, everyone norms on yourself, and my questions are certainly self-centered as a parent. You know, it looks to me like the county is in need of an additional high school, and I know in 2008 they were looking at buying land in the Ravana district to purchase land to build the high school. You know, I just hope that whoever gets on the board going forward, both school board and the Board of Supervisors, pays attention, because the Albemarle County High School is going to be enormous. It is enormous, and it's just going to continue to grow. And we're going to have to figure out something where to put all these kids.
Right. I do know that the school board did want to build an additional smaller high school. They fell short of the funding, but that they're still continuing.
Remember when we used to build things?
Yes,
remember when governments used to actually, I mean, when I grew up in Chesterfield County, it seemed like we opened up a high school every 3 or 4 years. And the last one here was Monticello, and that's been a while.
Well, let's change that.
I would agree. Changing our patterns of transportation is also necessary to reduce carbon emissions. But public transportation in the county extends north only to Sam's Club, as I mentioned earlier, and south to Southwood, which is just south of the Albemarle County office building on Fifth Street Extended, east to Pantops, including the hospital, and not at all to the west. What changes do you propose to make public transportation a viable alternative to single-occupant car travel?
I would like to see smaller buses, ideally electric. That's my preference.
Sure.
With more frequency, 15 or 30-minute intervals that run on time via a posted schedule so that residents can reliably use public transportation for work, shopping, etc. In the West, there is a planned jaunt autonomous small bus that will be traveling into Charlottesville. That is an exciting improvement. Public transportation enhancements and solutions are vital in our development areas. In our rural areas, we should evaluate setting up additional rideshare programs to serve those needs.
You know, it seems like there's every time you have, and we might talk about this a little bit later, but CAT, you know, my opinion is CAT should run to the airport. or at least out to where Target is. But every time it seems we try to negotiate with the city or wherever to increase these sort of things, we run into just these insurmountable roadblocks. So, what do you think we can do to better the expanse of what CAT can do?
I do know that there is a plan, or they'd like to have a plan that takes public transportation all the way to the airport and actually beyond. But you're right. We have to work with the city of Charlottesville, and right now they don't have a current permanent director of CAT, so that's something that needs to be resolved by the city councilors. I think once that happens, then UVA, CAT, and JAUNT can work together in providing these services for our constituents, for our riders. That's what's important. We all have to set aside whatever personal issues people may have and get the job done and provide transportation. Focus on the issues, come together, get the job done.
All right, well, thanks, B. We need to interrupt this discussion and take another short break. And we're back. I'm Jeff Leonard, and I'm co-hosting with Bob McAdams a 94.7 WPVC election special interview with Albemarle County Board of Supervisors candidate B. Lepisto Kirtley. Bob and B, we have one more segment to talk about the issues.
B, 2017, it was a year of turmoil, and it revealed the urgent need to address long-standing problems, especially covert racism. The recent conflicts over wearing Confederate symbols in schools illustrate the intensity of feelings on these key issues. What do you see can be done to build respect, confidence in the process, and good order in the relations between the Board of Supervisors and other county boards and officials to the public?
Hey, we can first make sure that all of our citizens feel safe, protected, listened to, and respected equally. The same rules and opportunities apply to everyone, no matter who you are, where you are, or what you have. I feel the Board of Supervisors can and does send a clear message against racism in any form. Showing respect to all citizens and listening has always helped me connect to people.
So what did you think? I'm sure you're aware of what happened at the school board meeting when several of the citizens had an encounter with the police. How did you think the school board handled that? And I asked this to Mr. Smith, so I think it's fair to ask you as a follow-up. How did you think the school board, the police, the Commonwealth's attorney, how do you think the response for that was?
I think it was not handled very well, and I don't think I would have done the same thing, but that's not my call, and that's Monday morning quarterbacking, which I don't want to do. I was not there at the meeting.
It was, but it's something that... You know, when I think of Albemarle County and I think of the last year in Albemarle County, it sticks out as one of the most important things for that happened in Albemarle County, and it still isn't resolved. I know that Dr. Haas and the school board still can't come to consensus. So I was captivated and surprised by the actions of everyone on that day.
Yes. I agree with you. I was surprised about what happened. I will tell you that when I was a school principal, we didn't have Confederate images. However, children sometimes would come to school, in elementary school, with images of violence on the T-shirts that are now are sold everywhere. That's something as a principal I did not allow. So I would talk to the parents. If the child had that on, I would have them take off their T-shirt, turn it inside out, and wear it that way. And we didn't have a problem after that. I think leadership involves doing things that sometimes you're not comfortable with, but you know it's the right thing to do, and you just do it.
You're going to be facing a lot of controversial issues on all the subjects that we've talked about. Now, the Board of Supervisors, there are six members, one for each of the magisterial districts in the county, and it takes four of those supervisors in agreement to act on anything because a 3-3 tie doesn't get it done. If you're elected to serve on the Board of Supervisors, how will you work with the other supervisors to get things done, particularly on controversial issues like the ones we've been discussing?
Right. In my experience, I have found that respect for each other, listening to both sides of a discussion, then coming together to do what is in the best interest of the community works. My experience in working with many diverse factions has served me well in getting people to compromise and focus on the issues and do what is in the best interest of our community.
Now, the fundamental structure of county government, again, 6 part-time elected supervisors, which I think is ridiculous. How do you have an even number? Oh, my goodness. Plus an unelected full-time county executive and staff. It would challenge the ability of any group of people to work together effectively. What do you imagine the county government could do to accomplish more? And what role does the state government have to play in what I would describe as local dysfunction?
Mm-hmm. Well, Albemarle County has a good board and staff that have done a great job in keeping development sprawl limited and making the environment a priority. Continuing to address the issues is very important, and working with our community partners to address the regional issues is another area of focus for the board. One of the biggest impediments for county government is the Dillon Rule, which can only be modified or eliminated by our state legislature.
You know, here's the shortest question I'm going to read you, but it probably has the biggest impact. You know, what areas do you think Albemarle could best collaborate with the city of Charlottesville, the University of Virginia, and to somewhat of a lesser extent, the other neighboring counties?
Mm-hmm. Well, many issues we have, such as transportation needs, planning for climate resilience, and affordable housing, are regional issues. We need to make sure we continue to foster and grow strong relationships with our community partners, Charlottesville and UVA. We are one region in this effort, and it will take all of us working together if we are going to affect change and move forward to solving these very important concerns.
Now, Bob, let me follow up on that. So one of the things that comes up every year or every other year is the Albemarle County revenue sharing agreement, where Albemarle County, which I am a resident, so some of my tax revenue goes into the city in a revenue sharing agreement. And because of we're talking maybe $20 million annually. What are your thoughts on the revenue sharing agreement?
I think it's time we look at that again. From what I understand, the history of it back in the 70s or 80s, that Charlottesville had the opportunity to take over the county of Albemarle. So in lieu of this, we came up with this revenue sharing. The revenue sharing actually varies from year to year. Sometimes it's $12 million, sometimes it's $14 million. It does vary from year to year. But maybe that's something we can do with Charlottesville in doing a quid pro quo, such as on transportation issues, affordable housing issues, climate resilience issues, that we can work with them so that it comes out that we're not paying as much or anything.
The city was in a position at that time to annex parts of the county, and then the county wanted to preserve some of these growth areas in order to expand their tax base, and the city was seeking compensation, but annexation has been pretty much put aside by the General Assembly. So that's how the county and the city came to that conclusion.
Yes.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC's Albemarle Board of Supervisors Forum interview with B. Lepisto Kirtley. I'm Bob McAdams. B, you're running for the Board of Supervisors. How do you describe your candidacy, your campaign, to voters in the moment or two you'll have with them at their door or maybe in an elevator?
Well, I let them know I am running, and I identify the primary issues on my platform, which are education, transportation, planning for climate change, affordable housing, and sustainable growth. I also ask them if there are any issues that concern them and note that. That way I'm able to look at these notes and find any trends that may be happening so that I can address those issues. And I've actually gotten calls and emails from people already asking me questions regarding my candidacy and my issues so that I can help them.
So let me go, Bob. Come on. So what have you found people are interested in when you go to the doors? What sort of surprises you when you ask them what's on their mind?
Transportation comes up a lot. The issues with being able to get to work. Why don't we have more buses? Why don't we have more public transportation? We would like to be able to take the bus to work. We'd like to be able to walk or ride our bikes to work. So those are issues that come up a lot. Also education, making sure that we have the best schools, the best education for our teachers. I'm very much in favor of raising teacher pay, getting the best qualified teachers, and retaining those teachers. Those are the big issues that really do come up, the transportation and the and schools.
Did I just read that they're
also one other thing?
Sure.
Affordable housing does come up because that also affects seniors. A lot of times we don't think about seniors and affordable housing for them, but that is an issue. It does come up.
The recent housing needs assessment specified that there is problems with seniors who are on a fixed income facing rents that are going up and other costs that are going up and not being able to stay in their homes. How can the county improve the availability of affordable, accessible housing for seniors?
Well, if we work with agencies like Habitat for Humanity, they go in and they can refurbish the house, which is sometimes what seniors need. But in order to have affordable housing, if we give tax breaks to developers and maintain the rents low for a 30-year period, that will greatly help also.
Now, every campaign needs to pay for the basics to get your message out to as many people as possible. It's yard signs, bumper stickers, radio time. You'll be putting out literature. How will you raise the funds to pay for those basics for your campaign?
Well, for my individual supporters and local businesses who know and believe in me, and through fundraisers.
Yeah, I just saw the Daily Progress did a pretty extensive report on fundraising up to date, and you were doing pretty well, it looked like.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I find that thing to be... I find that articles like that to be fascinating because you see really who has the edge financially and where they're spending their money. Those campaign finance filings must be kind of arduous.
Well, fortunately, I have an excellent treasurer.
I wish I had one. The June 11th primary is coming up quickly. To get elected, you have to win the nomination and become the Democratic candidate for supervisor from the Ravana District and win the November 5th general election. I don't think there is a Republican nominee presently announced for that, is there?
That's correct. They do have until June 11th, however.
Okay. So what is your plan, and what's your organization? What organization are you building to help accomplish this?
Well, canvassing has, for me, has been very rewarding, getting to meet so many more people in Ravana. I have come away with friends and supporters just by going door to door and getting to know folks. Another great way for me to learn about the issues that matter to people is to have meet and greets, which we are already holding. I'm already getting phone calls or emails asking for my views or assistance on a matter. I also have a great team of volunteers who are working with me day and night.
Now, we've talked about a lot of issues here, and you're only going to have so much time and so much energy if you get elected to the Board of Supervisors. Of the issues we've talked about, which ones do you see as the most important? Where are you going to put your energy to getting that particular issue accomplished?
Well, the good news is I have a lot of energy and I have a lot of passion to do this. Education, transportation are my big go-tos because I think that is so important. Affordable housing goes in with the transportation needs and sustainable growth also. There are many things that I'm very much interested in, but those are my main issues. That's what I plan on focusing my energies on.
So here's a question out of left field. What's the hardest part so far?
This interview?
If this is the hardest one, I got some people you probably shouldn't go on. So, no, what is... What's hard about this? Because, you know, people think about running for office. In my experience, people would love to hold office, but they don't always want to run for office. What's the hardest part?
Well, maybe I'm different, but I actually enjoy what I'm doing. I actually enjoy getting to know a lot of other people, getting to know their views. This is something that I'm used to, and my campaign manager gets upset with me because when we go out canvassing, she says I'm like the Energizer Bunny because I really do get very happy meeting people.
Okay, it's time. You're probably spending like 10 minutes when you've got three. Okay, time, your campaign managers can be hard. So what is the best way for people to get in touch with your campaign and to learn more about your stance on the issue and how to volunteer or donate if they should feel so inclined?
Well, thank you very much. My website is beforabamoral.com, B-E-A-F-O-R, abamoral.com, where you can see my platform and the experience I bring. Also on Facebook, I'm B. Lepisto Curtley for Supervisor. My email is bforabamoral@gmail.com. And my phone number is 434-218-8555. I believe in being accessible to the people. That's the way I work.
And you like it if people just see you on the street and walk up and say hello.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Bea, thank you so much for spending this hour with our WPVC listeners. This is one in our series of election special interviews with candidates in our area seeking the nomination for city councilor, county supervisor, delegate, and state senator in the June 11th primary. Each of the interviews will be available on podcast from our website, 947wpvc.org, I should know that, after they have been broadcast. We thank Bea for giving us her time so that you, our listeners, can make the best choice of nominees for county supervisor. Next week, we'll have 57th District House of Delegates candidate Kathy Galvin. Can't wait to have Kathy in here. In our studio for our election special interview. Thanks for listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
You've been listening to the 94.7 WPVC Election Special Candidates Forum. The program is brought to you with support from Rebecca's Natural Food and Hamilton's at First in Maine. Join us again next Saturday at 11 as we talk to yet another candidate for local office in Virginia's 2019 off-year elections. You can hear this program again or suggest questions for upcoming guests at 947wpvc.org or link to it through our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.